SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The only place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline. With the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Act like you've been there before, people. Have you? Have you been to Arch Madness, which tips off at 1 p.m. Eastern today? But you know what's tipping off right now? The best every day. Officially, it is underway. It's Moneyline. It's Donnie and Kevin. It's what we do. Sirius XM Channel 159. And away we go. And Kevin, I'm telling you right now, sometimes you like to get on the air. You want to talk a little Luka Doncic, a little LeBron James, West Coast game tonight against the New York Knicks. Sometimes you want to dip your toes in the water. Can Michigan State hold down the Big Ten tonight, knocking off Iowa? Sometimes you want to talk about so many games out there and so many smaller conferences. But the NFL just keeps on stealing my thunder, Kevin. I got three topics I need to talk to you about. Like right off the bat, we don't have enough time to even say like, hi, how you doing? What'd you do last night? You know, did you go into business for yourself? Which I got bad information from, which I was disappointed in because it would have been a great leadoff. But besides that, the NFL getting after it. By the way, like going, I heard, it caught me off guard, like, oh, by the way, Kevin and Joe are supposed to go out on Wednesday night. Yeah. Was that ever a plan?
Yeah. Like, I mean, here's the funny thing about it, right? Anybody who knows, Mr. Lisi knows, he's not eating at home and he's always looking to eat out.
Correct.
So, you know, if I'm on the phone with him nowadays, it's coming with a, we got to set up some plans. And he was going to his accountant. Maybe I'm saying too much. Maybe I'm not. Yeah. I don't know.
Tax season.
So here's the thing though, which is for some reason in brick. I don't know why someone who lives where he lives got this guy in brick.
Yep.
But he's like, hey, look, like I'm going to be nearby. If you want to do something, let me know. And listen, see, Don, the thing is I'm a lot more similar to you. Usually I'm like, yeah, no thanks. Also, that's because Lisa eats all his meals in the city and he tries to pretend like that's not the case. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know what? If you're going to be that close, we'll set something up, right? Set it up. Supposed to be at 8:30 again, like 8:30 on a Wednesday night.
That's what I heard.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. And then it got canceled on his end. I want to make sure that that's written in the history books. What I really appreciated was you were told, again, I don't think it was any type of secret, but since it did fall through, because I woke up and read all the messages, he was quick to just write bad info and act like the entire thing
didn't exist. Made up. Correct.
Yeah. Again, like, so a part of me was in between, right? Do I go, totally made up information? But I kind of like, I'll let DRS in and then you can play it how you want. So there was a plan. It's on him. He canceled it. So nothing happened. We ended up going out ourselves.
Where'd you go? Nice Italian joint? Would you eat?
Yeah, Spanos.
Wow. What is it?
It was family style. I'll send you. Don, it was way too much food. Way too much food.
Wow.
But we got a lot of leftovers, so that's good. Yeah. Rice was good.
Yeah, I'm deciding what to do. Am I going pizza? Am I going Chipotle today? So the world is at my fingertips. Yesterday, had a nice Panda Express, honey chicken. Also got a separate bowl of orange chicken as well. Enjoy that.
Oh,
usually
fit
that in maybe once a week there. But I do like pizza and cheesesteaks and certainly as well. But also, going out, I use it on Fridays. Me and my mom go out to lunch after the show. She is a Catholic, so more breakfast food, I guess, for the next couple weeks at that point. I'm a Catholic guy.
I'm
not
going
to cheesesteak for fun on Friday, but that's not me. You know what I mean? So
I hear what you're saying.
Follow the rules, per se. Do you follow the rules? Are you Catholic?
I am. At this point, I don't really follow the rules.
Yeah. Me neither.
If I can, I will thing. No, but so here's what you'll appreciate again, right? Sometimes I realize that Donnie and my brothers would get along well because there's just a level of behavior that he'd appreciate. Yep. Mm-hmm. So they do pizza night in my house on every Friday night, right? Yep. Without a miss. And it's like, all right, so we're going to do Pete tonight during Lent. You might as well, like, just not get the meat
sausage,
slices.
Pepperoni. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, not. It's chicken bacon ranch.
So, yep.
Like, there's not a single slice of plain walking in the door. Yep. And I'm like, you guys don't find this to be a little silly? No, get the chicken rolls. It's like, what's going on here?
Look, can't change it up, man. Can't change it up. You just got to have it. But Pizza Fridays, because again, it's funny that I wanted to talk NFL and we get caught up on pizzas. But, you know, I ran a sandwich shop for a long time. I hated Lent. Not because I was like, oh, I just don't believe in certain things or what people did. But Kevin, we had to mix tuna hand by hand back in the day. Like we were fresh. Like when we sliced meats, it was fresh. Sliced cheese, like made to order. Like we didn't have any prepackaged or, hey, go out and get the lunch meat from the refrigerator. Like, no, you made everything. Same thing with the tuna. Cracking open the two cans of tuna, whipping it together, putting it on the sandwich.
Ooh.
It was Fridays during Lent where, and again, it wasn't overwhelming. And be honest, like way back in the day, like just like 2007, 2008 was a lot more. The longer we owned the shops, like, Lent got less and less problematic, per se, for tuna. But whenever it started, it was always like, come on. Like, every Friday was like, man, you're going to get bombed out by tuna because people just, you know, Catholics, good Catholics, I should say, try to eat that as opposed to something else.
A set. You're telling me that you were opening a can of tuna for every sandwich?
Yes. A small sandwich got one can, a primo size, which was the regular size, like 9 inches. That got two. A whole got like 5 or 6 cans. And you had to mix it like individually every time. They were such a pain on Fridays. Because people like, we serve good tuna sandwiches. Like that was an affable sandwich. But on Fridays during Lent, especially like the first 2 weeks of Lent, torture chamber, man.
What were you throwing in the tuna is the real question. Like, was it just tuna mayo? Like you know, a lot of places put the celery in, like.
Oh, no. No, like it was, we had the Italian tuna, which is mixed with oil automatically. And we had the white tuna, which just came in water. So most people would say, you know, hey, I want tuna. Very few is like, no mayonnaise. So you had to actually like, you know, whip it up yourself and then put it on the sandwich, which made it tough. And also just opening so many cans of tuna, busting up your knuckles left and right all day long. What a pain. So that actually, I haven't thought about that in a long time because I sold the stores in 2016. But before that, man, Lent used to, the day it was over is like the greatest day ever. And then Lent gets extended because Ash Wednesday's Wednesday. So it's like the first day. So that Wednesday and then every Friday for like the next month and a half, an absolute torture chamber at that point. But
now what I'm really hearing is I missed out by not having that tuna sandwich. The celery ruins it for me. You can make any jokes you want. They're fine and valid.
I like celery in it.
It throws the whole thing off for me. It really does. Mm. So that must have been some good tuna sandwiches that you were making back then, man. That must have been that
you
must have
the
been
Italian
the good
tuna?
Stuff.
Or like when you
no, I wouldn't
tuna,
even
like
know.
The regular, yeah,
I've never,
Italian
I,
tuna,
like
very
yeah.
flavorful, very flavorful because it's already soaked in the oil as opposed to just the water itself.
But I wonder where I could go to try it though. Where would I like
any?
Yeah,
yeah.
Interesting.
You just have to go to a deli that has it separated because again, most places and smart. Morning comes, bust open 30, 40 cans of tuna, get a big vat, mix it all up, dollop it on the sandwiches as you go. But we were made to order fresh, so you couldn't have that advantage. You basically, you know, somebody ordered the sandwich. Hey, look at this order coming through. 8 cans of tuna I need for this order. Oh, my goodness.
And you were back there helping, though?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. That's the only thing. When you owned it, what'd you do? No, I'm telling you, the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of sandwiches that I handmade myself, outrageous. You might have to pick up the phones. You might have to make a delivery. You might have to make the bread. You might have to do this. You might have to do that.
Oh,
being your own boss is really fun until you're your own boss. So get ready for that, people. Yeah. You
know, until you're actually a good shot. Boss. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. There's no like big cushy desk in the back that you sat there all day and watched on a television monitor, everybody else working. No, you were in the grime. 8-9 hours a day in a hot store in the summer, a cold store in the winter, and everything was on top of you. Hey, that's real life right there. Real life is going to be football. They're going to talk about money's exchanging hands. And the disrespect is out there. We'll talk about it next right here on Moneyline.
Sports SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Disrespect here. I got two topics I want to get to right off the bat in football. There's three players I circled and I wrote down like while I was thinking about the show this morning. So I have to bring this up right off the bat because I'll get sidetracked here. With the NFL, they do a great job. And we always joke, Kevin, about the NBA being the best, you know, sport for once the season is over, all the fun begins and the drama. The NFL just goes all year long, all drama every single day. Hey, you had a breather here, right? Oh, yeah. Well, the tags are ending and we're going to wait for nobody's waiting for anything. Like Monday's the tampering and I'm sure guys are signed already right now. We just don't know about it. Tamper this, tamper that. We'll get into some of the moves. You know, the Saquon Barkley being a big deal. Zach Bond got signed yesterday, but I want to hold those off because the one I saw again today, which part of me, if you've heard this before, Kevin, it's about the Cincinnati Bengals again. That's the first guy I want to talk about. It's T. Higgins. Here's what I love about this. Because they're putting out the fodder that they want to get him signed long-term. The sign of a good organization is most teams around the NFL really want wide receivers. But the new free agent market, quote-unquote, for good players is you got to make a trade to get that player now. Like, they're really not getting to true free agency, at least the guys in their prime that you deem a true number one wide receiver. Like, forget about Devontae Adams, a little bit up there in age in his 30s. Let's focus on T. Higgins. And I already see what's happening because they're saying, again, the Bengals, we want to sign you, T. Higgins, to a long-term contract. They are getting pummeled around the NFL with calls coming in, be like, yo, you know you're not signing both of these guys to big deals. We would like T. Higgins. You want to start talking about. And the Bengals are telling everybody no. So you might say to yourself, like, oh, good for Bengals fans that. They're telling everybody no. You know what the Bengals are actually doing? T. Higgins, you will never get your way. You're going to play under the franchise tag if we deem you're going to do that because contractually you're obligated. If you don't want to show up, we won't pay you and you did it to yourself. But it just feels like they're going, we're not going to pay you market rate. We're going to give you a long-term deal well below market rate, but it's going to be a little bit more money that you're going to get on the franchise tag. And that's where we hold your feet to the fire. Like, Kevin, no back and forth. Like, hey, you know, we want to make you a fair deal. And if we can't do that, we can get a one and maybe a five or a four for you and we'll move on. I actually think they're playing it the way they always do in a horrible organization. Take your franchise tag. If you don't want it, take this lowball offer, which is more than a franchise tag, and that's all you're going to deal with. And don't even think about your agent calling another football team to get you there. You're staying here no matter what. You want to play? Great. You don't? Even better.
See, the part of it that is where I'm a little thrown off is I feel like Cincinnati would be willing to get rid of T. Higgins if T. Higgins even once was like, yeah, I want to be paid what I'm deserved, whether that's here or somewhere else. But instead, T. Higgins is like, man, I just hope I can play with Joe Burrow forever. And then Joe Burrow's like, I hope T. Higgins never leaves. Like, Cincinnati, Donnie, at no point has lost leverage in any of this. They're like, hey, T, let's figure out a deal. It's like, I don't know if we're going to be figuring it out. Well, we'll just tag you again. And it seems like T. Higgins is like, all right, yeah, no, that's great. Well, then we'll just keep talking. And it's like, all right, you know, do us a favor, T. We'll get back in a couple months. We're going to figure out this Jamar thing. And then Jamar's like, don't even talk to me. All right? There's nothing to talk about. You're going to give me $40 million annually, and that's that. And since I was like, we're not even close to that number. All right, everybody, let's take a breather. Hey, do you guys think we should pay Sam Hubbard? He retired. Hall of Fame. Let's put him in the Ring of Honor. This guy's great. Awesome. We don't have to worry about Sam Hubbard anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean? What's going on with Trey Hendrickson? Is he still being annoying? Like, it's just, I don't disagree with your assessment of how Cincinnati's acting, but I really do feel that T. Higgins is letting them get away with whatever they want.
Because there's something to, sometimes we're not all mercenaries, which I understand. But in the NFL, it's not as if you can say, like in the NBA, like LeBron James is 22 in the NBA. I'm going to play at least 10 more years at max contracts. You can take a little bit less. You could do a little bit different. In football, Higgins goes out in game number one. His Achilles goes. He's never going to be a high-level wide receiver again. And you might say, well, what, Donnie? He made over $20 million last year and had a rookie contract, and he's under franchise this year. It's not the way you look at it. You just saw Max Crosby sign a contract with almost $100 million in guaranteed money. No matter what happens in game number one, that $100 million, Kevin, is his. That's the way you're supposed to approach it. But you're right. I couldn't believe T. Higgins played last year under the franchise tag.
Yeah.
But now I just see the way it's opening up, because understand this too. The franchise tag is the worst decision for the franchise. Yes, it gives you a little bit of leverage in negotiation over the couple months. Like, hey, we're close. I can't lose you to free agency. Let me put this tag on you as a placeholder. Trust me, we'll get this worked out. And that's usually the way it happens. Because you can't go into the season like Odighizuwa was going to get $25 million a year plus as a defensive tackle for the Cowboys if he signed that and they couldn't come to a long-term agreement, which is $25 million a year against the cap right away. You can't maneuver that. He signed an $80 million deal and he counts $5 million versus the cap. See what I mean on that? And it's not as if the Bengals like, we're loaded at every position. We don't even have room for many people. Here's how it's going to play. So if he plays under the franchise tag of 27 million counts this year, that defense absolutely sucks out loud. And now you're tying up all of that money. I need to see this play out sooner than later. But once I saw, like, most people saying, oh, that's good, man. The Bengals really want a long-term deal, not taking any costs. Now, this is the Bengals being cheap business owners going like, I'm not even going to let him think of what that open market is going to be for him. Because, yes, he's going to be like, just trade me to the Patriots, and I'll get double what you're paying me right now. He's never going to get there, and it's a shame of it. But I wanted to start talking about T. Higgins and the, hey, they want to sign him to a long-term. Yes, under their terms, not T. Higgins' terms. Because you're right. Like, Jamar Chase is sitting back on, like, I'm not signing a thing until you show me what T has. And T's like, well, if I take something and Jamar gets, like, $20 million more than me per year, like, what did my agent do? It's such a, like, a stare down, Kevin. It's crazy right now.
That, so I actually find that all to be uncomfortable, and maybe those guys are, like, totally fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
When we think about the best wide receiver duos in football, where you talk about, like, look, the number one is amazing, but the number two is amazing, right?
Yes.
It's Jamar Chase to Higgins. It's Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown. And the Philadelphia Eagles did it where we were never measuring their contracts against one another. This world where it's like, all right, Chase, like the Bengals ownership's kind of like, we're going to make him the highest paid non-quarterback in football history. And Higgins is like, I've been trying to get paid for 3 years. What is going on? T won't move on. And my biggest thing, and I've continued to say this, and I'll just say it again, and not like people are like, well, T. Higgins wants to win in Cincinnati. Hey, man, they've missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. And T. Higgins' only options, it's not New England or bust. The Chargers, the Packers, the Rams, the Niners, all these teams will come in on T. Higgins.
Watch the Bengals look like this. Oh, Jamar Chase, you're still under contract. We're not even going to negotiate with you now. See you game one, pal. T. Higgins, take the franchise tag. Yeah. What a great run, fan-friendly, team-friendly team that is. We'll be right back. More football talk next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it, people. Having fun talking some NFL topics. We'll get to the NBA. We'll get to some college basketball. There's certainly big things doing here. But we did want to start today talking about T. Higgins and the Bengals. Just a poorly run franchise, and they just ran it even more poorly. I want to see how the turnout is, because good for the Bengals fans if they sign all three of their players, but knowing that organization, that just means then they have no defense, but you have your three offensive players, and good luck with that. But if we keep moving down the list, I want to keep it with wide receivers, because I'm going to get to a quarterback here, which the party is just about to start, and I don't want to give that away. But DK Metcalf now, after already seeing one of the other wide receivers, not Jackson Smith and Jigba, who, by the way, was their number one second half of the season. Make no question about it. Target share, look like he's going to be the future. DK's like, now's my time to strike hot. Get me out of here. I want to go to a contender. I'm going to pay $30 million a year. And the Seattle Seahawks went back a 1-3. You already had Lockett get released after 10 years in Seattle. So changes on the horizon. But as I said with T. Higgins, like, he's not going anywhere because the Bengals are too cheap or smart enough to understand, like, we can just hold this guy here for as long as we want and we'll win no matter what. But the Seattle Seahawks like, okay, start to pick up the phone and make some changes. This is the new free agency right now where you want a number one wide receiver. And you also heard it, Kevin, with A.J. Brown yesterday, where the back channels of the Patriots going, we will give you Eagles whatever you want. And A.J., if you come here, we have so much money. We could probably make you higher paid than what Jamar Chase was even thinking about getting because we were just so starved from a number one. Now, from a business plan, before I get back to DK, that's the way you approach A.J. Brown, because he's crazy. He's wild. He was a Patriots fan growing up. We understand that. But you're not allowed to directly say somebody else under contract, we want you on this organization. So they're sort of back channeling it there like, AJ, you just got paid last year. You come here, we'll pay you even more, and we'll give you the 18 touches a game that you want, which would send him up a wall, which he's probably like, wait a second. Went to two Super Bowls, get paid just about more than anybody else. They keep re-upping me. I love this city, but New England's telling me I can get more money and get more targets and catches. That's what always wide receivers look at. So when you talk about DK Metcalf, if he gets to the open market, he is worth $30 million. Is that where the Packers jump in? Because we heard a couple days ago like the Packers are involved. Like DK Metcalf is a big deal if he's out of Seattle.
Yeah, he's definitely, especially again if T. Higgins isn't going to do anything, right? And the wide receiver free agent class isn't great. And the draft class, Donnie, it's not last year's in terms of perception. Guys can hit. We know that. But the perception then is going to dictate how teams act a little bit, right? You out there may be in love with Emeka Egbuka or, you know, McMillan, whomever, you know, Luther Bird, and that's fine. But obviously, if the league is low on those guys, then the DK Metcalf price is going to rise. You know, and what I like from Seattle, and I think it's a little funny, is, you know, usually they're like, nah, the Seahawks have no interest. The Seahawks are like, deal's done. First and a third, you're paying what you want. We're out of here. Cool. We which is a little odd, though. Like, where's Seattle going? Because they're moving on from Tyler Lockett, Metcalf. Who's the quarterback, right? Are we sure it's Geno long term? Nope. So Seattle's in a very, very weird spot. Metcalf, Donnie, is likely going to be the number one available wide receiver. So that's why I would push back. I know it's a lot to give up, a first third, and pay him $30 million, but who's option number two, Donnie? Devontae Adams, I guess.
Exactly. That's what makes it so tough now. Also, like when the salary cap goes up and some teams have already been, you know, blowing their teams up for a couple years, they have so much money to spend, and players and agents know this, like, hey, DK, I can swing you to the Patriots. Like, we're not even talking about highest paid wide receiver. We're talking about they have so much money to spend and nobody's taking it and they're starved for a one. That gets number one wide receiver. Even if they're happy in their spot where their agent goes, I can get you out of here to New England and get you more money. What? No, I don't want to do that. Like Drake May is a young quarterback. I get it. But the reason why they want that number one is he understands too, like all wide receivers want really is the football. Then secondary money. Then third, are we winning football games? It's just the way wideouts are wired. Like a wide receiver goes, man, we just won the Super Bowl, like A.J. Brown. Thank goodness he got that touchdown along with Devontae, because he would have been through the roof and been angry about that. Like he wants six catches, you know, 95 yards and two scores. Otherwise, they're unhappy. Even if they won the football game, it's like, man, you know what? I was 4 for 40. I needed to do better. So for me, you look at that New England Patriots squad and say they need that number one. Where do they go? But DK, there's so many good spots from the land. Like the Chargers now popping up as well, right? Like who wants to go to the Chargers? DK Metcalf. Would be perfect there, Kevin.
Yeah. Forgive 30? My laughter. Donnie.
Wrap it up. Don't wrap it up. What did he say?
I heard a 10.
Did you?
I heard a
there
10.
We go.
Maybe it's...
No,
you
but like... Carousel the break now? 30, I didn't hear anything.
Not 10. Really. Not really.
Yeah, see that? We're out. We live. We're not. Oh, we'll be right back. We got more football to talk about. 10. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Bang! Right back at it here. Talk a little DK Metcalf, T. Higgins, wide receivers. Let's shift positions. You ready to shift positions?
Where are we going?
Because the word's getting out there in the streets. X was talking yesterday / Twitter. The negotiations are now officially underway for the San Francisco 49ers and Brock Purdy. Initial thoughts have been coming out. The Niners are telling you it's going to be around $45 million. Brock Purdy camp, probably not too happy with that. Now, it is a negotiation. They will go back and forth. But now you're starting to see some numbers come out where, and also, you know, reading some of the notes from some of the beat writers putting it out, and the fans will jump in there like, that's ridiculous, holy overpay, and the other one's Brock Purdy getting disrespected, can't believe it. You know, he's up there with just about everybody else. He should be at least $50 million plus. What do you stand, or where, I should say, do you stand on Brock Purdy and the 49ers?
Yeah, I think the way the Niners are operating is they are solely looking to get the Brock Purdy deal done. I thought they might be interested in some of the very cheap veteran options. I think what's kind of been made a little bit clearer to me is Brock Purdy does not have incredible leverage because Brock Purdy is under contract this year at such a small number that it is in his best interest, Nani, to start these negotiations. Because the Niners can just say, all right, so play the year out, and we'll figure it out, right? They could always tag him the next year if it came to. And for Brock Purdy, obviously, you know, the thing is, being a seventh-round draft choice, you know, he's not making anywhere near... Caleb Williams probably made more money, what, in year number one than Purdy has throughout his career so far?
Yeah, not even close.
So like,
$3.7 million, Kevin, Brock Purdy.
Yeah, if you are Purdy, there is major incentive, I would imagine, to get a deal done. And that might allow the 49ers then to keep this number away from record-breaking status. And at that point, then, you're probably looking at a win for all parties.
It's wild because it's a lightning rod that you never would think would be a lightning rod. And somehow it just does trade off where the amount of money that he's making, and then you're saying, like, what's he actually to the franchise? Because franchises are graded on your quarterback and how well he plays and performs, and he's been the two NFC championship games, he's been the one Super Bowl over his short career. He's still young. He's not injury-prone per se, even though he got knocked out in that Eagles game, got surgery, but came back the very next year and performed. But he just has that stigma on top of him. Like, we didn't even think twice about any of the like, Jalen Hurts got the $50 million. Some people are like, oh, he can't pass. Well, obviously, you know, MVP of the Super Bowl, couple of Super Bowls, but that was always like the stigma, like, okay, yeah, he's worth about $50 million, and Lamar Jackson, oh yeah, 50, and you know, Joe Burrow, yeah, he's worth that, and a lot of these younger, like, we don't even bat an eye, like, you know, Trevor Lawrence gets a huge deal, yeah, makes sense, number one overall draft pick, big, strong, fast, can throw it through a brick wall, but then we always look at Brock Purdy, like, yeah, I don't know about that, like, he gets lumped in with Daniel Jones, he's a way better quarterback than Daniel Jones, but we still have that stigma of, I don't know if you could do it elsewhere, but also at the same time is like, if you did let Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Kevin, get to the free agent market, no strings attached, the bidding war would be on, it'd be unbelievable. I don't think there's that same process like, hey, the Niners go, we're just going to cut Brock Purdy. Teams will be interested, but does it feel like, oh, now, yep, $60 million a year for Brock Purdy as your starting quarterback? It doesn't feel like that.
Yeah, I think what holds Brock Purdy back is Jimmy Garoppolo. Brock Purdy has been better than Jimmy G as the Niners quarterback, but level of success, it's the exact same.
Yeah.
Right? Made a Super Bowl.
Pretty much.
Lost in a conference championship game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if maybe there's another conference title game for Jimmy G but I'm pretty sure it's the exact same. You know, dealt with an injury, you know, which obviously happened to Brock Purdy for a little bit there. I view this as a situation as that's what holds back Brock Purdy, is we've seen a quarterback have success in that system that we all knew wasn't that great in Jimmy Garoppolo. So it's what holds back, you know, again, and that's where Purdy's draft status holds him back as well, is we didn't expect this. So him being this good, you have to wonder a little bit, well, all right, is this the right move? You know, is this the right guy?
Yeah.
Because this is a team that thought they needed a high-level quarterback to hit the next level. Now, the Trey Lance thing unwinded in a way that is just unimaginable. I mean, they never even really gave him a chance because they found Brock Purdy, you know? Yeah. But that's what happened. That's what happened.
What did they get lucky on that? What, imagine if they don't draft, like, Brock Purdy late, just like we need a backup quarterback and a young kid will see what he is in a couple years and trade him for like a fifth round draft pick. Can you imagine the Niners where they just went Trey Lance and had nothing after that? It's amazing where that team could have been in the rescue, because you could say, you know, somebody, oh, hey, doesn't matter where they're drafted as long as you get the players. Nonsense, man. You trade up and you whiff on a player like that who you thought was going to transcend, and it was supposed to be Mac Jones. And then when somebody figured out it was Mac Jones, they just spited Mac Jones and say, well, now we can't take Mac Jones. Got to be Trey Lance. I always like those stories that come out too, from the San Francisco 49ers. So it is what it is, but it's interesting to see, like, they're in sort of that transition where we don't want Debo, we traded him. We're not even sure we want Ayuk. We got to pay George Kittle. Bosa brother's going to join the team, so there's going to be, you know, a little bit more salary upped on that end of it, though. They're in a little bit of spot. And also, what do you get out of Christian McCaffrey next year? Oh, he'd just be go right back to 1,800 yards and be the MVP, right? No big deal there.
I feel like nobody knows. I feel like nobody knows what CMC is going to be. You know, but what's funny, though, is because of the success of Garoppolo, because of the success of Brock Purdy, I still, call me nuts, have wondered, would Trey Lance have figured it out? Had he been given enough time to figure it out? Trey Lance was not given time, understandably. They found a guy in Brock Purdy, right? Now,
must have been the worst practice player in history.
100%, right? 100% seemingly was. I don't know if I said this to you the other day, Donis. I just want to make this point since we're using Trey Lance's name. Mm-hmm. People were talking about Sam Darnold. I think Darnold's decision for himself is very obvious. If he goes back to Minnesota and wins that job, which I think they'll give him a chance to do, and then holds the job all year and wins a playoff game, he might keep the job and be given franchise quarterback money. Because people will say there's no way they don't give JJ a chance. That's not true. Because the Niners poured quadruple the assets into Trey Lance and moved on from him.
Yeah.
If Sam Darnold puts together, Donnie, two seasons of 8,000 passing yards, 60 passing touchdowns, and a postseason victory, I'm not sure J.J. McCarthy's ever the starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I say that time and time again, where it's so easy to say, oh, well, Darnold, like, just take the statistics of the regular season and put the silhouette in there for the quarterback. Is it quarterback A, B, or C? Who would you rather have? Like, it's one of the best quarterback seasons we had last year. Oh, no, it was Darnold. Yeah, he stinks. When you would say that if you pop Patrick Mahomes on those steps, oh, man, what a season. Well, what a season for the guy. But we watched the final two games. A chance to beat Detroit, didn't play well. A chance to play in the playoffs, didn't play well there. He wins one of those two games. Like, you're right. He's in Minnesota, and they go, hey, J.J. McCarthy, first-round draft pick. Who wants him? Because we're going to sign Sam Darnold long-term. And nobody would even bat an eye. Yeah, you know, makes some sense. That's your future guy at this point. He's not 38. He's 27, 28 years old, still in the middle of his prime, and it would go that far. So Sam Darnold is a very interesting one of where he actually fits in. You're right about that. Like, where he picks and goes in, is it a one-year kicker? Like, I'll play and then reestablish myself from free agency and maybe a team that thinks I can play now because I put together two good seasons in a row as opposed to just one? There is some interesting stuff to talk about there nonetheless. But also, Kevin, across the NFL, we did get a chance to talk about Saquon Barkley getting a big deal and then getting the biggest deal that a running back can have, which is over $20 million a year based off last season. Zach Bond back to the Philadelphia Eagles. He got himself a nice deal, and the Eagles trying to still get out in that free agent market and make some hay here on who's coming back and who's going away. So money's flying across the board in the NFL, that's for sure. Flying!
Yeah, it is. It is. By the way, if we're going to move off of the quarterbacks, Rodgers to Vegas now feels like the
move. Ah, it's great. Yeah, win five games, blow it up. See ya. Oh, by the way, Matt, you know what? Max Crosby, he's on deck. Thanks for reminding me.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Knicks invade the Crypto.com arena later tonight. 2-point favorite here for the Los Angeles Lakers. Let's see if we get that in just a moment, but Kevin just triggered something which I was getting all fired up about this morning. Max Crosby, Las Vegas Raiders. Love him. Great football player. Absolutely fantastic. Just got paid more. I mean, Michael Parsons right now is popping champagne bottles with Willie Shaw and Max Crosby get. And if anybody's watching the Dallas Cowboys, they're restructuring everybody. Oh, when are we going to get in free agency? You know you're going to get in free agency? Michael Parsons at like $130 million guaranteed. That's why you're restructuring contracts right now. Not to get a big-time wide receiver. But as I digress. Back to Max Crosby. This is where I get so angry, Kevin, at organizations out here that I don't think understand what the actual process is in the NFL. If you're not winning, you're losing. There's no in-between. You're either on your way to the playoffs or you're on your way to winning two games most so you can actually improve your team. Max Crosby deserves to get that money. Nobody's arguing that. Max Crosby leads the NFL in sacks next year at 18. That's fantastic. You'd think it's money well spent. And then they win four games next year. If I was the Raiders, Max Crosby, the highest bidder, my goodness, what we could get back for you. Because by the time we're ready to win, you're going to start to be broken down. I don't fault Max Crosby. Absolutely, he deserves the money. But you know where he would really? If you told me now, Max Crosby just got traded for 2 first-round picks to the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills paid him $100 million guaranteed. I'd be like, what a move. Both teams, huge winners here. The biggest winner was Max Crosby. Loves Vegas, loves the atmosphere, getting paid a ton of money. He won. Doesn't help the Raiders at all. Not at all.
Yeah, I think, Donnie, the disconnect is very few teams in the National Football League operate as Super Bowl or bust. And the reality is, we get new playoff teams every year. Surprise playoff teams every year. We just do. Like, I'm telling you this. If the Raiders make the playoffs next year, that won't be that surprising.
Yes, it will.
No.
What's they have the lead. Like, I always talk about, like, the New England Patriots. They have a really good tight end, a really good defensive end, and everybody sucks. Everybody behind them.
I got you. They were right in the playoff mix two seasons ago. Donnie, the Browns, one of the reasons they don't want to get rid of Myles Garrett, they're convinced that they can make the playoffs this upcoming season. One of the reasons Giants fans think that Cam Ward plus Aaron Rodgers is a good move is so they can compete for the playoffs this season. Like, here's the thing, Donnie. I think that some teams, a team, should try and bottom out. Right? I think that would be within the interest of a franchise at some point to see if they can. It doesn't have to be as egregious as the process was, but to what, you know, kind of what you're getting at, nobody does it. Absolutely no. Hey, Donnie, and if they do it, it's for 1 year maximum. The New England Patriots, worst team in football going into last year. They were atrocious this season. They're trying to move heaven and earth to bring in a megastar wide receiver because they think, Donnie, Drake May's good. We can make the playoffs next year. You don't think they can make the playoffs. I'm not telling. I don't know. It's March. I don't care. Donnie, how many teams at this point, the only team that I think enters next season telling themselves we're not making the playoffs is the Tennessee Titans. Out of 32 teams, every other team is telling themselves we should be able to compete for a postseason slot.
But there's also things where, like, offensively, if you load up, like, you tell me right now that Vegas traded away 2 first-round draft picks for Max Crosby. Ooh, man, that's a really good player that you lost on a team that's talent depleted. It's all right, we're going to, let's just say Shedeur Sanders falls to us, Kevin, right? Like, we didn't have to trade up. He fell to 9 or wherever the Raiders pick at, 6 or 9, whatever it is. And then you say, now we're going to go make a move for a wide receiver. I love it. Like, you're right. Like, you're saying, you don't make sense. You say, well, look, New England's going to stink. But you feel you have your franchise guy. Now's when you build around it because you're nothing without a quarterback. And I look at the Raiders and go, the whole team stinks, and our game plan's going to be, we'll keep Max Crosby. We'll bring in Aaron Rodgers. I'm like, this is not the way. Like, you don't have the foundation built in. Like, when you're ready to move on, like, I think the Patriots are. New head coach in Vrabel, which I like the hiring there. If they think Drake May is their guy, now's the time you surround them with talent. Like, I love what the Chicago Bears are doing. Chicago Bears had high expectations last year. Say, you know what? We could be a playoff team right off the bat. Bad head coach, didn't work out in their favor. Great head coach, what we think now, loading up on offensive line, saying, I need that to be first. And I love the direction of that football team because they technically were bad last year. But I do think once, if you have the quarterback situation in place with a franchise young guy, I'm all in for whatever you do. When I look at the Raiders, I just feel like it's, hey, let's go and get Stafford. Well, that doesn't help us in 3 years. Let's get Aaron Rodgers. Well, that doesn't help us in 2 years. Like, if you started this year, Kevin, my whole angle, and you know me with the Raiders, is just be bad. They draft Shedeur. Yeah. I'm in on that franchise now. I'm saying, you know what? Well, all right. Yeah. The plan starts right now.
And they might, you know, Shedeur seems to be falling a little bit. But this is a conversation that you and I had the second they hired Pete Carroll. I said, Donnie, I agreed with your plan for this team. They don't. They don't agree with your plan. That's why they brought in Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll is not there to win 3 games because Pete Carroll does not win 3 games.
They should have called him up, yes, the Raiders this year.
Yeah, they should have. They should have hired, what's the guy, Alex something, the TB12 method guy? Let him be the head coach. I mean, who cares, right? But that's not what happened.
It's a team that wants to try and win football games. And Matt, and why I think, you know, the Vegas, because you know what I think happened, just quick, just to get into this? I think Devontae and Rodgers wanted to play together, right? And the dream scenario was the Rams. And then Stafford went back. And Devontae's like, look, Aaron, I'd love to, but like, I really don't want to go back to New York, and I'm not going back to Vegas. And Rodgers is like, all right, you know what? You go do the West Coast thing, because Devontae Adams is either going to be a Charger, a Ram, or a Niner. And now Rodgers is like, if I don't have to worry about Devontae, I can go be a Raider. Because Devontae was never going to go back to playing for the Raiders. Crosby wants him. He and Brady definitely have a relationship. Pete Carroll probably respects him to no end. And they can still draft Shador or Dart or Tyler Shuck in round two. But it now feels to me like Rodgers to the Raiders is the way this is going to go. Also, sorry, one more quick note. The Pittsburgh Steelers have no idea that the quarterback position exists.
They actually don't want to get a quarterback. That's the new Pittsburgh Steelers offense.
Yeah. Get with the plan, great people.
NBA next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at you. Having fun on a Thursday. A big weekend, by the way, in college basketball. Last few games for some of the big Power Five schools jockeying for position in their conference tournaments. 1 o'clock game starts this afternoon in the MVC, which is Arch Madness. So you got games all day long. Not a lot of marquee games, but a lot of games there. I did want to talk a little bit about the NBA action tonight because the Lakers and the Knicks play tonight. Heavy public favorite is the Lakers. 85% of the tickets coming in. Line opened up at 3, still sits at 3. To me, I was like, you know what? I do think I want to take the Knicks, but I can't get dodged like I did last game. Like, hey, man, Carl Anthony Towns is a big deal. Yeah, I'm just going to sit out for personal reasons late. And they got dropped by the Warriors. Knicks, Lakers tonight. Any advantages for you?
I am struggling a little bit because it's Austin Reeves' first game back. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what level of Reeves we're going to get. Hamstring DRS, if I'm not mistaken, is what took him out.
Wow.
So, all right, can't touch Reeves' props. How much do we start to peel back Luka numbers? How much do we peel back LeBron numbers? They become a little complicated to me. I think I may be a little bit more interested in some Knick props. Mm-hmm. Total might be a touch tall at 230.5. I know the Knicks don't guard, but the Lakers have been playing a lot of defense there. The number, though, I don't know, man. Like, am I crazy or is this number very light? When you consider, or is Cat back? Maybe I missed that. Is Cat back
tonight? That's what I asked this morning.
That's a minute. Said
because he was sad because without knowing that information, I'm looking at this line going like, Cat's out -3. I don't understand this. Yeah. It's all Lakers tonight. Then when Cat was back in, it's like, okay, now we're at least back in the realm. That makes sense.
Yeah. All right. So I guess 3. Three and a half, that isn't bad. But the Knicks still get a lot of respect. They've really struggled against good basketball teams this season. I'm considering an under at 230.5.
Yeah.
But I'm just fascinated to see how long the Lakers can keep this going. I mean, they've just continuously thrown results on the board, Donnie.
Yeah. And the two superstars learning to play, because finally it wasn't like, hey, I'm going to play good, you play bad. You play bad, I'll play good. Right. Both play good last time, which is always a good sign. But you as well as I just like, Austin Reeves doesn't come back and be like, you know what? Let me do 30 minutes of cardio. I'll take 4 shots. Like, he's a shot maker. He wants the ball too. Now that factors in, which should help. I was actually talking about an angle. I like LeBron James' assist tonight, to be honest, where if Austin Reeves is coming back, Luka's out there. 230 is a total, not a light total. Like, hey, 215.5. I think LeBron James gets everybody involved tonight on that aspect. But not a great NBA card overall. That figures to be the best one late night out on the West Coast. Interesting college from last night. Went 2-1. Lost Alabama. Thought they would be able to beat Florida at home. Had UConn yesterday. Upended Marquette. And who was that? Oh, yeah, Maryland. 71-65. I had Maryland in that game as we sort of closed the door down. But I'm still looking at my two teams in the NCAA tournament. And it's funny. Because I have the numbers up here on my... There we go. They posted them back on FanDuel. Duke +340. Auburn +340. Far and away the two best teams in college basketball, price-wise here, as it lines up. 750 on Florida. Tom Vecchio came on with us today. Like, he really likes Florida. I feel like I'm bypassing Florida this year. Like, I haven't had that feeling of like, you know what? Because you know me, like Texas Tech, Iowa State, a little bit longer leash. Do like Duke, do like Auburn, like Houston, just because they're always fun. Hate Tennessee. Alabama's too tough. I think St. John's, great story. I don't know if it's there. But like, it's like, feels like to me, like Duke, Auburn, and then my two long shots. How you feel about Florida, though? Like, do you have any outside of our guy, Walter Clayton?
Yeah, no, so that's, okay. So Donnie knows this. Donnie and I watched him together in person while he was still with the Gales. I root for Walter Clayton. It is so awesome to see a kid that went to Iona be one of the very best players and one of the greatest conferences like we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
But like that being in front of Houston, like, it's just driving me nuts. I don't get it. I mean, I do, but I don't. Florida has awesome wins at Bama, at Auburn, right? That's fantastic. I get it, that part of it. But in front of Houston, like, is that where we are now? Like, Florida is decidedly on the one line because Tennessee lost to Ole Miss.
Like, yeah, but like,
Donnie,
it's
we still have the SEC turn. Like, this is, I'm gonna get real angry though, because I feel like this is maybe the most I've paid attention to the one line race, because maybe it's the best one line race we've had. If we do this thing where they go, yeah, conference tournaments don't matter, so we're not judging anybody on anything. It's
like, you know what we love about the conference tournaments, though, Kevin, too, is where the committee will tell you, like, I don't know, if it's like the Big Ten that plays late, like, yeah, we didn't even care who won the Big Ten championship. We already factored in, like, where we wanted these guys slotted. It's like, what are we doing at this point now? Like, what actually matters? Where are we now officially saying, like, yes, the regular season is way more, 20 games, as opposed to, I just didn't play well in a neutral site court, and that's going to bang me worse than, I beat this team twice in the regular season. Yeah, but you lost them in the conference tournament. That's all that matters at that point here. It's crazy work. Tomorrow is a Friday, a big basketball Friday as well. Thanks for tuning in once again on a Thursday afternoon edition of Moneyline. Johnny Wrightside, Kevin Walsh, and as always, behind the wheels of steel, it's JP. Good stuff. Big stuff. It's even better tomorrow. Hang in there. Good luck on the way this morning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.